Basically, the way I've constructed the questions is to give a basic overview of how politics are run in the South in general. I mean, Alabama is like one case point, but Alabama is pretty much, you know, representative of the majority of the South. And you can answer other questions from, you know, your knowledge or your father's knowledge, or from what you saw from your father, or what you see for yourself, or likewise. So, everything that you gave me pretty much it goes along the same lines as what the questions are. Yeah. It's all, I'm trying to basically shape what the politician in the South is gearing towards. What kind of people he's trying to get elected by, the ones who win, who get elected, why, that kind of thing.
It's changed tremendously over the years.
I got it all weaved in, trust me. Okay. First question. How would you describe yourself as politically minded? Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, populist, nativist, whatnot?
Well, I'm not sure. Of course, I was raised a Democrat, socialized as a Democrat, conservative Democrat.
Socialized meaning?
Well, you know, the political objects and political beliefs there that my father had, he passed down to me. So my socialization was a Democrat, but it was a conservative perspective there. The Democratic Party there had so many wings and divisions and shades to it for so many years, kind of like the Republican Party today. But they're going to have a hard time keeping them together. But, you know, you called yourself an Alabama Democrat to kind of distinguish between the liberal label that you generally associated with the National Democrat. But we were still Democrats because the Republican Party really hadn't emerged out here to any significant degree. And politicians that wanted to get elected to office were Democrats. So I knew I was a Democrat and I knew I was conservative. But I don't know. Nowadays, I'm probably a little bit more of a National Democrat, still a Democrat, a little bit more National Democrat than I was, maybe a little more, a bit more liberal than I was. But my father generally remained a Democrat, but a strong conservative Democrat. Basically, still before Republicans really had made their move in the state. In a significant degree, except for that isolated goal on the switch. But other than that anomaly, not really serious.
Okay. Okay, and that kind of refutes my second question. From a political aspect, what type of makeups do you feel you attract to, and why?
We'll have to explain that.
Okay, as far as constituents go, what kind do you feel that your platform would appeal to? Like, basically describe the people who would be voting for you.
For me?
Yeah, say you were running, we can even pick it, we'll read into the next question, okay? On the issues of the 60s and 70s into the 80s, from inherency standpoints on both race and agriculture.
Now, am I putting myself in my father's position?
You're just... Basically, it's not about your father or you as the politician.
In the 50s,
yeah,
or a politician in the 60s.
Yeah, like what type of people are you?
Now, the first one I answered from my own perspective. That's really not a winning perspective politically, though, in Alabama today. I'm just asking it from a personal perspective, the first place.
Okay. You can answer anything the way you want it. You know what I mean? It's not.
But
like,
I want to know what you want, though.
What I want is to know how people.
A winning politician would answer the question.
It's a winning or a losing. Like either way, I'm going to be able to tell the opposite. You know, I need to compare and contrast in a way, and I'll be able to.
Personally, you know, I'm probably not giving you credit for knowing enough. But I have the feeling I'm not sure that you might not know. But anyway, we'll go on with this for a while and see. But Personally, that's the way I would believe. Now, politically, the state is much more conservative than my personal view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's go to the next question, and I can answer that if you want me to, like a winning politician, or I could answer that like, you know, if I were campaigning for office.
Uh-huh.
But I personally would believe, or as that's really not going to help you very much, so is it? You don't care what I believe.
Well, no, see, if you go and you run and you lose, mm-hmm. then that means that the people that were going to vote for you, they don't want you. And the reasons they don't want you are going to be clear and evident by the people who get elected. You know what I mean?
But I don't plan to run for anything.
I understand that. You don't have to. Okay, let's just get to the next question. And the inherency standpoint on race and agriculture, okay, those are two primary big things here. What types of triggers do those pull, and to who are they pointed to politically?
Well, basically, agriculture is synonymous with the, it used to be the Farm Bureau Federation, but it's out for now. They got out of the national organization. No. Alabama Farm Association and basically the alpha group there is for low taxes, keep the property tax there, basically present classifications there, current use deal there for all of this huge millions of acres for land and temple land.
There's discrepancies now, aren't there, with who wants to get taxed and for what,
yes.
as far as land goes, because they haven't really ever been taxed on property.
That's true.
Okay.
But anyway, I'll push for the status quo for a huge bill. Things which we keep the property tax as a law tax very low. And of course, they oppose that about what the papers refer to as the risk development of the reform element of people there. They believe that the tax structure should be shape to provide a greater taxation to these elements who would escape paying for such a long time, primarily using it to benefit education through local support for education, which is very, very hard of course not bad. But when you think of agriculture generally, you think of that element represented there by keeping the property tax low, work in opposition or in kind of a coalition there with the business groups within the state, working there basically with the Republican, within the Republican Party. So there was that coalition on one side and the coalition there, the power with the AEA. Democratic office holders, the black group. But that's what basically comes into my mind when I hear the word agricultural interest.
Okay. From a Southern majority voter turnout, beliefs, it looks as though the South and the two-party system were screwed, basically, after the New Deal. Okay? Like, it's just going to be, like, from what I understand from lecture and from reading and whatever my comprehension was that prior to the New Deal, everybody was Democratic in the South, basically since 1901 when they had the...
Basically, since 1870.
Yeah, whenever the Redeemers came in.
Redeemers came in. Uh-huh. And basically, Democratic system.
And then the New Deal comes in, though.
And it's still Democratic.
But some people were kind of like, wait a minute. Like, they were like, well, we're not beginning yet the state's rights.
Well, that's right.
Education.
It was a Democrat within, again, the conservative state rights faction of the Democratic Party. and that raised its head. Well, there were many opponents, elected opponents, office-holding opponents in the South to the New Deal.
Uh-huh.
That's true. This element of state sovereignty, state rights,
yeah,
prominence of that all along. Mm-hmm. Of course, it really didn't get pronounced to basically a break with the New Deal until the Truman election in 48. But there were always elements of opposition.
Truman had a civil rights bill, is that right?
That's right.
And that would be like a no-no for the Democrats down here.
That broke the camel back. They said, I remember reading something that said, when I... Truman and Roosevelt there were saying the same thing on civil rights. How come you didn't break with Roosevelt and you break with Truman? And one old Dixiecrat said, well, Truman really means it. So it was always there, but Roosevelt was a wonderful politician. He could talk out of 12 sides of his mouth, you see. And basically, kind of like Clinton in a way, whoever he talked to last, you see, that was the position that he took. But he wasn't going to do anything significant or meaningful there for the Southern blacks because he was afraid of alienating or breaking up his winning coalition. But Truman was serious about it. But anyway, that was the break. Really no serious republicanism until, well, 28, you know. There was a break in the Solid South.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was because of
Al Smith.
Uh-huh.
But really no break other than that for Republican until 52.
But I love this stuff. I really do. Like, I have a real... It's only because I'm from up north, and I know pretty much how things run up there. And the way things run down here is kind of contrast. But at the same way, a lot of people... would think I look down on it, or from up north do look down on it, but I look at it like this is the way things are done. I'm interested to find out why, and I don't necessarily...
It's not as unique as it used to be.
Uh-huh.
I was at the Citadel in Charleston there last year, and we always have a conference on Southern politics, and we were sitting there talking, and hoping this was a serious proposition or not. It sounded pretty serious to me. Said Southern politics now is so ununique that we need to abolish this conference. There's no such a thing as Southern politics anymore.
Uh-huh.
And people there were basically in agreement. We have a nationalization of politics. Folks in Rhode Island are Republican just for the same reason that folks in Alabama are Republican. And the same goes for the Democrats that really in Massachusetts said same reason that Democrat. Oh, yeah, I think so.
I have a question about that, but I'll find out.
I think so, big time.
Big time? Okay.
That's what I say. It's a huge change.
This is really, like, basically exactly what you just said, and it's a question about... Okay, because that has to do with what I think then. The South is politically contended for, okay, as a pawn in the scheme. Like, are they like, the way I look, I want to know how, in your opinion, national politicians would try to appeal to the South. Do they appeal to the South as part of the contiguous United States? Like, we're trying to get this, it's like, just like the West, just like the North, or would they try to appeal to, like, a certain criteria that the South might have for them?
And I, you know, back then in the 60s, there was a Southern strategy created for the Republic. President Nixon's Southern strategy. It felt the power to be in the Republican Party felt that if Nixon could convert the South of the Republican Party to become a majority party in the land. So, yes, there was a strategy. Again, there in the 60s, and to single out the South as a target for conversion to the Republican Party. Of course, Nixon there, well, I don't know how obvious he was, but it was very obvious, but he was also basically a fairly consensus politician. He wasn't so obvious that he alienated, you know, his northern constituencies there, who were good mainstream Republicans. Now, there was a book published before the Clinton election. Just almost simultaneously, that they called The Bible of South, by probably the most prominent scholars in Southern politics today, Earl and Merle Black. They both are in renown. But